Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Health officials in Texas say the measles outbreak continues to grow. There are now 90 cases. 16 people have been hospitalized. The majority have been unvaccinated. ABC medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton says that could be a cause.
The goal of vaccination or herd immunity is to get at least 95% of people within the community to get vaccinated against measles to protect against outbreaks. But since the pandemic, we've seen a steady decline, and we have pocket communities that are significantly undervaccinated, most notably Gaines County in Texas, which is where we're seeing this current outbreak.
President Trump fired General C.Q. Brown, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on Friday. He did not announce a reason, but he also fired several other senior military leaders. Hamas returned six hostages to Israel, the last exchange of the first phase of the ceasefire. And the president of the L.A. Firefighters Union said they're outraged at the firing of Chief Kristen Crowley on Friday. This is ABC News. The Los Angeles County District Attorney recommended to a court it deny one way for Eric and Lyle Menendez to get out of prison where they're serving life for the 1989 murders of their parents.
Newly elected L.A. District Attorney Nathan Hochman announcing he will oppose their push for a new trial, one of three potential paths to freedom.
The court should deny the current habeas petition by the Menendez brothers.
In a new video, the DA's office laying out the anatomy of the case, casting doubt on the authenticity of what the Menendez legal team claims is fresh evidence that would warrant a new trial, including a letter Eric allegedly wrote to his cousin months before the murders, claiming sexual abuse by his father.
That's ABC's Matt Gutman. There are inspections planned for the weekend for some tunnels in the Boston area after debris fell from the Prudential Tunnel on Friday. Some cars were damaged, but nobody was hurt. Officials believe it was caused by freeze-thaw action. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This St. Paddy's Day, remember the story of Lenny the Leprechaun. Lenny moved to Madison searching for a place to live.
If I find the right place, I'll find me pot of gold.
So he went online and searched up movetomadison.com.
Ooh, what riches!
Yes, Lenny, riches indeed. People that sell with the Aaron Weber Group get the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes. Virtual or in-person meetings, too. Find your pot of gold when selling with the Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The retirement savings picture across America is generally bleak. Not a lot of people have a big nest egg to rely on. Could more pensions be the answer? Mike Moen reports.
Pensions offered to public employees are seen as more stable because they're not shaken by movements in the financial markets. In recent polling from the National Institute on Retirement Security, 86% of Americans say all workers, including the private sector, should have a retirement plan that is more pension-driven. The group's Dan Doonan says retirement coverage is still too spotty for non-wealthy workers, leaving them on their own to put away savings.
In general, we're just asking way too much of individuals to get all this right. And saving during the middle years of your life to provide income throughout retirement, it really is a challenging endeavor.
He says the good news is that more states are setting up programs that enroll private sector workers in an IRA-style plan. The goal is to step in when a company can't or won't offer retirement perks. Experts say they're easy for states to operate and benefit small businesses because they don't have to contribute. But for the workers, the IRAs typically have lower contribution limits, meaning the retirement savings might not stretch as far. And just like state and local governments, Doonan says a more simplified network of retirement programs around the country can help companies in the private sector avoid staff turnover.
If they do move in that direction, I think what you'll see is more loyalty in return to the company. So there are some benefits for private employers, especially employers who value retention.
This is Mike Moen. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 32. Clouds tonight, lows around 18. A touch warmer for Sunday with a high near 41. And we shoot into the upper 40s for Monday with partly sunny skies. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs around 48.
Right now, it's 19.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next program, well, wait, do we know what we're going to talk about on Monday?
I don't really think so, no. More of the misadventures of Elon?
Now he has a chainsaw.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, man, time. It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show, where you know the hostess with the mostest definitely gets it from her mama. Okay, that is my song this morning. Speaking of my mama, I was driving and I had to get some gas and the sun was shining in my face. One of my favorite gospel songs came on. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves, and I felt my mom in my soul. My biological mother is no longer with us on earth, but I was riding this morning and I just felt her presence. My mom, growing up, she used to always have her music really loud, and it was so embarrassing and so annoying to me. And I used to think, like, girl, why you gotta do it like that? Like, why don't you just turn the music down? Like, you, and she'll be like in the car moving and, you know, just dancing and enjoying herself now as a 45-year-old woman. Now I can see that that was her enjoyment. But when I was little, I was like, you're embarrassing me. You're making a fool of me. And now I'm in the car by myself making a fool of myself. Okay. So I was thinking of my mom this morning, like, oh my God, I'm just like Layla Grayson, okay? And I don't know, appreciating that and the reflections of my mom in the world where I find her. And that makes me think of folks who are, you know, living life without the folks that mean the world to you. So I want to send you life and light and love, and just with some inspiration and reminder that with time, the memories don't fade. Your ability to, I don't know, I don't even want to say endure, because endure is not like a positive word, but in time, you're able to hold on to the moments that bring you smiles and laughter and joy, and really become more appreciative of people. I often think that it sucks that as humans, we appreciate people more when they're gone versus when they're next to us, when they're breathing. Usually they're dead, or they leave us, or they break up with us, or whatever. They remove us from their lives, and we're like, wait, I really like that individual. Luke, how about you? Welcome back. We missed you last week.
Missed you as well. Sorry, I was on vacation, but hopefully you were in good hands.
Yeah, Sam was good. You know, perfect. Sam, I'm always like, Sam, are you okay over there? Because, you know, Sam is new to producing, and I was on fire last week, Luke.
Okay, yeah. I believe it.
I was blackety blacked out after the Super Bowl and everything else.
Yeah, I missed Super Bowl, Valentine's Day. It was weird being on the road for all of that, but it was a good time to get a. It was a good time away.
Where you go? What did you do?
I was in the national parks with my wife, so we went and visited four different ones in Texas and New Mexico.
And
so.
You drove the whole way there?
We flew to El Paso, and then we did put 1,600 miles though on the rental car that we were using. So yeah, it was.
I hope it was on limited mileage.
It was. Yeah. We were smart about that. We knew we needed that going in, but none of the national, well, there's a couple that are close, but like if you want to go see more than one national park, you usually got to drive quite a bit. Two of them were pretty close, which was nice because we kind of stayed in the middle for a couple nights last week, and we were able to see both of them just kind of back and forth, which was nice. But yeah, there's a lot of driving involved. Texas is a very big state.
Super big state.
Very big state. So yeah, it was a good time.
Well, good. Well, welcome back. Thank you. For the folks who are tuned in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi. Brandi Grayson. So there's so much to catch up on. There's a lot happening locally in the Madison area. And my co-host, Cousin Clyde, he's probably mad at me because I didn't tell him I was recording a few minutes early. Sometimes, y'all, I just want y'all to know that I have so much to accomplish in my day and so much to think about and so much to hold. A little drop of something else I have to remember to do is probably going to get lost in the shuffle. I literally work 12 or 15 hours. I'm holding 5 or 7 projects at one time. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I say, girl, what is your problem? And how are you even doing all of this? And then I look at myself again in the mirror and I say, because God is good. And my ADHD or whatever you guys want to call it that I'm not diagnosed with, but I self-diagnose, is it's one of those things that helped me do a lot, multitask. And it's also, it's my strength and my weakness. It's like my superpower. Like I see things 100 miles ahead of time. Like I can, and then I'm able to delegate like this, like boom, 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 boom. We got to do this. Boom, 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 boom. I do more in one day that most people do in a whole week. So just honoring that in myself and my ADHD is a superpower. And it can be very annoying to the people that's around me, that my staff, my partner, my family. Poor people. Oh, but that's also why they love me. So moving on, we have a lot going on locally. There's a lot happening nationally. As you guys know, I try to stay away from Trump because we're so like drowning in Trumpity dumpity stuff. And I know that the more that we talk about it, the more we feel powerless. But I'm also going to encourage us to talk about it, but talk about it from a solution-based perspective and framework. What can we do? When we dwell on problems, whether it's in life or political, it just makes it more worse, is more compounding, and it feels more like doomsday. I don't even have words to articulate what's happening right now in our world. I mean, I don't even understand it. I watch news sometimes, not very often, but listening to Trump and his executive orders and the impact on veterans, the impact on farmers, the impact on service providers, the impact on those who are vulnerable, the impact on education, the impact on folks with disabilities, the impact on our city and our state infrastructures, the impacts are huge. And I mean, they're so big, I can't even wrap my mind around it. And I never thought in a million years, United States of America would become a dictatorship in within 45 days. I just never thought about it. I never perceived. I knew it was going to show. You know what I mean? I knew that, Luke. But I was like, it'll take him a while. You know, I feel like we positioned ourselves, like everyone before he took office was scrambling to get things in order because we knew there was going to be an impact. However, no one could have dreamed of this impact. What do you think, Luke? What's your take?
Yeah, it's a fire hose right now of information, and I think it's very difficult for any one individual, let alone like all of us, to try to pay attention to absolutely everything.
Yes,
and that's kind of unfortunately been a strategy that's worked. And we've heard them say, "Hey, we're gonna flood the zone. We're just gonna do all of it," and it's a very difficult thing to try to keep
up with pace with. It's a hot mess, but it is the strategy used by Nazis, and it is working just as it worked for the Nazis in Germany. I remember, oh my God, I'm gonna look it up when we take our first commercial break. But I remember Martin Luther King. He had a quote that said, "White liberals will destroy." What was it? They will accept fascism in order to maintain their privilege. That's the bulk of his quote. And that is what's happening right now. He was literally prophesizing our future because folks are I was talking to my friend. She's from Appleton. I was at a conference this past week in Green Bay up north. It was the Wisconsin State of Balance Conference. And the Wisconsin State of Balance is a nonprofit organization that oversees 69 counties or 62 counties of homeless services. They literally get all the funding from HUD for rural areas and then allocate it to other direct service providers. They don't themselves provide direct services. They're literally just the hub to receive the money and then allocate the money over 60-something counties. So they had a conference. I was there to network. Urban Triage sponsored that conference. Shout out to Carrie Poser, the ED of Wisconsin State of Balance. Wait, Wisconsin State Balance. Oh my God, I'd be messing up people's things. But anyway, I'm there. I'm talking to a biracial girl that I know who's part of my partnership and my statewide initiative. And we're talking, and she's talking about her mom, y'all. And her mom's white, and her mom is from Appleton. And her mom said to her, and this person, she has a black partner. She's biracial, and she's the only biracial person in her family. So imagine being biracial, black woman, you know, someone who identifies as a black woman surrounded by folks who may not get you. So we're talking, and she's like, girl, let me tell you what my mama did, right? And she's like, we're getting ready for dinner. Me and my partner, we're talking. My partner never brings up politics. He hates it. He hates that I'm always into politics. But she says he brings up Trump and something that he did, and he was like devastated. Like, you know what, how this is going to affect black people. You know how it's going to affect poor people. And her mom said, that's not my problem. It doesn't affect me. And I felt like that is the energy of folks who are just going with the flow. And I don't know, Luke, just like when the election happened, when I was like, I was so hurt. And people were like, why are y'all hurt? Why are you off work? Because we understood the devastating impact on vulnerable people. And if you actually care about vulnerable people, it hurts your heart. Like, it's not, the work isn't easy. And then you know, like, okay, what's going to happen to the people we serve? This is going to compound the issue. But to hear her say that as a black woman sitting with her white mother, and she's just like, oh, well, that's not our problem. I don't even know. How about you, Luke? What have you been experiencing in your network of people? You know, don't drop names. We don't want you to have no problems or nothing, Luke. But
it is interesting because I similar to you, politics, I kind of gravitated towards it because I found it interesting.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I just felt good keeping up with what was going on in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a lot of family members that either agree or disagree with the political views that I have, a lot of times there are people in my life that just either didn't feel comfortable articulating the way that they felt or the approach that they had, because for a very long time, it's like, you don't talk about money. You don't talk about religion. You don't talk about
politics.
Race. You don't talk about race.
Yeah.
And if we don't talk about those things, you then don't have the ability to articulate your views on them.
That is true. You don't have the words. You don't have the...
Right. You don't have the practice. You don't have the going through the routine of having an uncomfortable conversation sometimes, but not being so hurt by those uncomfortable conversations
that
you can continue to have them.
Yes.
And so over the last couple of months and years, really, I've had a lot more people be approaching me and say, hey, like, I don't necessarily know what's going on fully, but can you try to talk to me about this? Can we so it's nice to see that there's more of those conversations going on.
Yeah.
But it is unfortunate the circumstances that it takes
to
for some people to start
asking the questions.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's real. And a part of me want to be mad. I am mad. A part of me is mad. Not want. I am mad. I'm outraged. And then there's a part of me that holds that compassion for people and my desire to help them learn, help them grow. And not to say the way that I think is right. Of course, often people say, well, you know, who do you think you are? Right? Because I speak with a lot of authority, and God knows, like, it's not my fault God gave me this voice. Right? Like, this is Brandi Grayson, and I wasn't there inside my mother deciding the DNA and the factors that make me as amazing as I am. Okay, amen. But what I do try to do in my life is hold that space. So when we come back, we're going to continue to have these difficult conversations, more politics, a lot of local stuff going on. Local nonprofit New Bridge is under fire. We have a clip from Jasmine Crockett, representative out of Georgia, I think. I always
Texas.
Get it wrong. Texas. Why do I get it wrong? Okay, if you're tuned into the Black Converge show, stay tuned, because I got a lot of tea for you with your girl Brandi Grayson, hostess with the Moses on 92.7 FM.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Okay, Luke, a little beat. Okay, you tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM WMDX. And prior to our short break, we were just sharing the impact of living in this time on our hearts and our minds and all that good stuff and the effect of Trumpity-dumpity. What I would like to go into is this clip by Jasmine Crockett, representative out of Texas. I'm always getting this sister's where she from confused. But I just have to say, I love her. I love her energy. I love her look. I love her style. I love her flow. She is so smart. She's just bad all the way around. She's a boss. And I often wish in my life, and I'm going to create this one day, hopefully before I start getting too old, but in my life, I hope to be in spaces with people like her, people that can sharpen me, people that can help me, you know, see my BS and, you know, because smart people, my desire is to be around smart people. I spend so much time with people who need a lot of coaching, a lot of support. I want to be coached, right? Anybody in Madison in a great area, Dane County, greater area, want to coach me, black, brown, white, I don't care, because there's a lot of boss people living in this area too that I'm sure I can learn from. Like, I want to learn philosophy. I want to learn some theories. I want to talk about quantum mechanics and quantum physics. I want to talk about electrons and how they disappear and do what they want depending on who's looking. And, you know, all that stuff. That's what I want to talk about. Okay, I digress. Okay, let's get back to this bomb girl, Jasmine Crockett. And can I recognize it is Black History Month, okay? Shout out to all my Black people out there, okay? And all my white people who support Black people out there, okay? Y'all my people too. And my brown people and everybody else, because y'all be just saying, anyway, we ain't gonna go there. But it's Black History Month, and I'm super excited. Last week, we talked a lot about the halftime show. I broke down the analysis of it. So folks who had a hard time digesting Kendrick Lamar, please check out our last show. I'm sure somewhere recorded on my Facebook, Black Conversion, Civic Media Facebook. Find it, listen. Let me know if you have any questions, okay? Because I'll be happy to answer it. But for now, I want to go into Jasmine Crockett. Go ahead, let's play this clip. She went off about Dodge. Okay, listen to this woman. I love
her. The gentlewoman from Texas, Ms. Crockett, for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Talcove, I'm just going to go ahead and pick up where you left off really quickly. Just to be clear, the upgrades that you're talking about as it relates to our data processes, these aren't things that would be free, are they? They would cost some kind of money. Not looking for a number, but they will cost, correct?
Some are free and some would cost money.
Okay. All right. So I just want to leave it there because we've had a number of these hearings. So I do want to be clear, before the Trump administration came in, this committee did exist in the form of the Oversight Committee. And our task is to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. In that vein, we had a number of hearings, at least last term. I can't speak for any other term as I'm only in my sophomore term. And we dealt with improper payments. And interestingly enough, our chairwoman, who is so passionate about this today, she missed every single one of those improper payment hearings. But just to be clear, I was there. So I don't want anyone to believe that Democrats just come to work and don't plan to do work. In fact, I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is that the Republicans believe our job is, because right now they have relinquished their constitutional duties over to an unelected bureaucrat, someone who no one went out to vote for. And absolutely, he is occupying the Oval Office, as we saw yesterday. And that is a first for me, to see someone occupying the Oval Office who's never actually been elected to the Oval Office and actually answering more questions than the person that allegedly got elected. But for whatever reason, this is the first time we're having a DOGE subcommittee hearing, and that guy's not here. Instead, we have y'all. So I do want to thank you for coming. But I will say this. It's also interesting to me that in the first few days of DOGE existing, we know that they are trying to get rid of the Department of Education, USAID, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're laying off FAA workers. They are going after the FDA, the CDC, the HHS, the FBI agents, and they're talking about getting rid of FEMA. And they brought y'all in. And I am going to say that I actually was shocked that there was only one person that seemed like he was an overt Trumper as you laid out your opening remarks, because I anticipated that at least one of y'all would say, yes, what Elon is doing is exactly what we would prescribe. But instead, I will applaud you because you actually were focused. You talked about what the American people are looking for us to do. We've actually consistently on this side of the aisle promoted this idea of making investments into technology so that we can do things such as, say, look at the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense that takes up approximately, 50% of our discretionary income or our discretionary spending, approximately 50% goes to Department of Defense. Department of Defense has not been able to pass an audit in the last six audits. And we're not talking about pennies. I understand that we want everything to be perfect. And if we could get all waste, fraud, and abuse out, that would be fantastic. But let me talk about the big numbers. The big numbers are on that side. When we look at, say, our entire workforce, our federal workforce, as we're trying to somehow fire all of them, they don't even make up a total of 5%. It's even less than that when we look at our budget. But let's talk about defense. That just happens to be the same side of the ledger that Mr. Musk gets the vast majority of his money from. In fact, at the same time that they were unlawfully, and we will stay in court, because on this side, we believe in law and order. We believe in, a number of us are actually lawyers, but nevertheless, we understand the Constitution. We believe in that as well. And so there's things such as, impoundment, right? Because as Mr. Whitson said, he said, we need to return the power of the purse to Congress. It never left. According to the Constitution, that's where it's at. Now, I know that people are confused right now because for whatever reason, we had a guy that went in and you talk about people invading our data. Listen, people said that they were upset about TikTok, but I'm upset about the guy that runs Twitter, who for sure is doing nefarious things, because I don't understand if you are trying to conduct audits and figure out where the waste, fraud, and abuse is. I don't know why you would go to some tech guy. In fact, it was only techies that were sitting there at inauguration. We didn't have auditors. I would welcome auditors to come in and do forensic audits. In fact, he sat there in the Oval Office yesterday and he admitted that he was lying and he was using his propaganda machine to do it when he said that we sent millions of dollars to Gaza for condoms. That was a lie. So let me tell you something.
The gentlelady's time has expired.
It's time for us to do our job and rein in this rogue actor known
as gentlelady's time has expired.
Go ahead, stop. She was like, your time has expired. That's what people say to me all the time, and I keep going. I don't know how to shut up once I'm on fire. Like, come on now. You heard what I said. But we're talking about billions of dollars in defense. And can we talk about how they've never passed the audit? So shout out to Jasmine Crockett for keeping it real and 100. And I don't know if it matters. I just feel like now we're in, like, literally in a dictatorship. We are Germany. And we are in 2025. This stuff is scary. And it's scary because a lot of folks are talking about it online as if, well, we needed to catch the fraud. We needed someone to come in here and do this. And they did that. Like, are you serious? That's not their objective. You don't spend $20 million or president spends $20 million of our taxpayers' money to go see Super Bowl and $14 million to go golfing, and you're talking about fraud or misuse of funding. Are we slow or dumb? But I'm thinking we're just slow. Okay, we're going to return. I have a lot of politics locally that I want to talk about. Elections, new bridge, nonprofit audits, salaries. I was looking at I'm going to tell y'all what I did. I Googled me, and Lord, did it send me down a rabbit hole. And I just want to share with you what I found because it's hilarious. Okay, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. With your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. Stay tuned, because I got a lot of more to talk, okay?
This This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Health officials in Texas say the measles outbreak continues to grow. There are now 90 cases. 16 people have been hospitalized. The majority have been unvaccinated. ABC medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton says that could be a cause.
The goal of vaccination or herd immunity is to get at least 95% of people within the community to get vaccinated against measles to protect against outbreaks. But since the pandemic, we've seen a steady decline, and we have pocket communities that are significantly undervaccinated, most notably Gaines County in Texas, which is where we're seeing this current outbreak.
President Trump fired General C.Q. Brown, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on Friday. He did not announce a reason, but he also fired several other senior military leaders. Hamas returned six hostages to Israel, the last exchange of the first phase of the ceasefire. And the president of the L.A. Firefighters Union said they're outraged at the firing of Chief Kristen Crowley on Friday. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks beat the Wizards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks held on to beat the Wizards 104-101 in Washington. The Wizards' Chris Middleton had a chance to tie the game in regulation but missed a shot from the three-point line. Giannis Antetokounmpo asked what are his first impressions of newly acquired Kevin Porter Jr.
This past 2 games I've played with him, he's able to get to his spot, create for others. Defensively, he's so good, knows how to use his hand and his body. Man, I'm not even going to lie to you. I love playing with him. I love him a lot. He's like the steal. You know how you have a steal of the draft? Like we had the steal. That's a steal for sure.
College basketball, number 16th ranked Marquette, losing on the road to the Villanova Wildcats, 81-66. The Golden Eagles have now lost 4 of their last 6 contests. And the Milwaukee Panthers scored a win on the road, 84-74 over the Youngstown State Penguins. The Panthers play at Robert Morris tomorrow at 1 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 32. Clouds tonight, lows around 18. A touch warmer for Sunday with a high near 41. And we shoot into the upper 40s for Monday with partly sunny skies. On Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs around 48.
Right now, it's 19.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only 3 states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's 5 election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All 3 bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will break down all of the most recent news and how it affects all of us here in Wisconsin. Plus, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, okay. Maybe you want to crip walk up in here, Luke. Okay. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Just so you guys know, I do not know how to crip walk. It's a very skilled dance that apparently Serena Williams can do very well, but she is from Compton, so it all makes sense, okay? And shout out again to my girl, Serena Williams. I love you, girl. You were brilliant in the dance, and all of it was brilliant, but we won't go back because I got so fired up last week. Sam didn't know what to do with me. I didn't even know what to do with me. I was talking so fast. What?
Yeah, I can imagine. We got out of the mountains just in time for the Super Bowl halftime show, okay. Which was great. Yeah. And we went to this like barbecue joint in nowhere, Texas.
Oh, that was fun.
And it was the most interesting because there was like two other young people there and my wife and I. And like everybody else was kind of an older generation.
They was like, what is this?
And very white. And like my wife and I and the other two young people were like, having a good time. Right. We were vibing to the show. And everybody else was kind of just sitting there like,
man.
Arms folded.
Man.
Just like, what am I watching right now?
The blackest of the blackest Super Bowl ever.
Yeah.
It was so black. And it wasn't as, like I said, it wasn't as, you know, fireworky. It was more artistic. It was creative. It was what I believe music and hip hop is founded on, is the creative arts, you know? And again, my favorite part is when they came out of that car, like clowns, symbolizing a clown car, and they were on a prison yard, and they were on top of a literal PlayStation controller. Like, so all of those things were very telltale. And the things that he said undercover, the revolution will be televised. He started, I said, okay, bro, I'm okay.
It was great. The symbolism throughout was I agree with you.
Yeah.
It was art. It wasn't it just was, entertainment. Yeah, it was art.
It wasn't Beyonce, okay? And I love Beyonce, but Beyonce entertains. Kendrick Lamar came to teach. And someone said to me, in order to understand Kendrick Lamar, you have to know the difference between there, there, and there. And I said, oh my God, that's so real.
Hey, the man got a Pulitzer for Damn. So, he's
smart.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
So prior to break, we were talking about Trumpity Dumpity stuff. But I want to move on. But before we do move on, I just want to point out that we are not, okay, how do I say this? We need food, right? We need food. We need to support our farmers. Farmers in Wisconsin, agriculture is huge in Wisconsin. And for our new listeners who are just tuned in to the Brandi Show, okay, Urban Triage, the nonprofit that I'm the CEO of and founder of, we run an agriculture program. And all of our funds, most of it comes from state or federal grants, which allows us to allocate about 5,000 pounds of food every year. And not only does it allow us to do that, it also allows us to teach people how to grow their own food, how to enter, ventures in agriculture, how to connect with farmers, how to get access points or access funds or resources for their own farms. We teach people how to become entrepreneurs through the funds that we receive from WEDC and USDA. And Fair Share, a local nonprofit organization who does a lot of CSA work, which is like distributing produce and things across Dane County, they received a letter recently from USDA saying that their agreement has been terminated due to their language around diversity. So in their grant agreement, they talk about their primary function is to support vulnerable populations, Black, Brown, and other, and specifically Hmong folks. And they received a letter that just said, "Hey, you need to go ahead and do your last draw on all, expenses acquired up to this date. And after that, your agreement will be terminated because it doesn't align with the new priorities around diversity." Which of course is like, oh, for Urban Triage, we are unapologetically Black centered, right? And most of our programmings, our language is very, very direct. We're unapologetic. We don't hide what we do and how we do it. So there's a lot of impact that this will have in terms of food access. And to our farmers who are losing funding, are losing access to resources, who USDA grants and like kickbacks that they're supposed to receive and matching stuff that they're supposed to receive and are no longer there. I was listening to one farmer who said he had a $400,000 contract with USDA and they just
or went silent on them. And he had already spent about $50,000 in preparation for his crops for this agreement that they had. And he didn't know what he was going to do. And the conversation was, did you vote for Trump? And he said, yes, I did. Did you expect this? No, I didn't. And I think it goes back to what Luke says, is that we're not actually talking about what the consequences are. People are just getting the sound bites from whatever they're listening to, whether it's Fox News, if it's MSN. They're just getting the sound bites and the fear mongering and the racial things that are said. You know, we're going to get our country back. It's too brown. And we all agree that we need new immigration laws, right? Like, I agree. I agree that we need some type of just better controls. But I also don't believe in treating people inhumanely. I don't believe in caging people. I don't believe in, you know, taking people out of a country that they know. I don't believe in that. I believe in humanity. I believe if we center the humanity of human beings in all that we do, we will see greatness in them and in ourselves. So I don't know. Shout out to the farmers. I know you guys are suffering right now. Urban triage, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how it's going to impact us. But I, like I tell my staff all the time, we walk in the space of creation. We are the creators. So I share that too to say to all of our listeners, support small businesses. And locally, there will be a small business event today, February the 22nd, at the Elver Park Community Center. This particular event is the third annual Minding My Black-Owned Business pop-up. There will be 40 Black vendors. Their businesses, they are selling products from earrings to skincare to clothes to purses. And if you guys follow me on Facebook, or you're looking at me right now on Facebook, all my earrings that I wear is Black owned. I get them, you know, the cloth, the wood. I usually get them at these pop-ups, and I have hundreds of them. I just, every time I go, I buy them. I buy them to give out to gifts. I buy them for myself, and I don't wear any other jewelry. You never see me with necklaces or rings. I'm not, or bracelets or watches. I'm just an earring type of chick. But go and support Black businesses. Times is really hard, and if you feel overwhelmed about what you need to do and what you should be doing, the first thing you could do is put your money into Black businesses, other small businesses, support organizations, nonprofits that are dependent on federal funding and state funding, because we don't know if we're going to be able to continue to provide the support to vulnerable people. And I don't know if you guys follow Urban Triage, but we deliver on our word. We serve the people we say that we're going to serve. Integrity is a key value for my organization and for me as a person. It's everything to me. So support us. Go donate to Urban Triage at urbantriage.org. Show up for the Big Share, which is a local fundraiser organized by Community Shares, which benefits a lot of nonprofits locally in the area. Urban Triage is one of those nonprofits. Urban Triage received $10,000 from Roots and Wings Foundation, who's a huge supporter of our organization. So shout out to Roots and Wings Foundation and the folks behind that work. They make the funding process very easy. They provide us with unrestricted funds, which is why we're able to provide additional quick moving funds earlier this year when Cap Times wrote this bogus article. But we ain't even gonna go there. I get flashbacks sometimes, you know, guys. So anyway, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson. So back into the tea. So what I wanted to discuss too locally, since we're on local politics, is the article, another Cap Times. I don't know what's up with Cap Times. I think they might be their folks. Back in the day, Cap Times' focus used to be on community work and like in a positive way, though. Like, I remember them having Black journalists, and I knew folks that worked for them, and I really supported Cap Times. But in the last couple of years, their journalism has become very, like, antagonistic. And I don't, that's just my perspective. And it's probably biased because that's how they did us. But they recently dropped an article on New Bridge. New Bridge is a nonprofit organization. They've been around 50 years. They recently, I think in 2019, though, they reorged. They used to be made up of many organizations, like a coalition, I believe. And now they're one. They're a white-led organization out of Madison, Wisconsin. Their primary function is to provide Madison senior citizens with activities, services, and programs. They came under fire last holiday season, the Christmas season, as they held a holiday party for local senior citizens, and they forgot to offer their Black seniors rides home. And I think it was at the Lion Energy Center or something like that. And they end up waiting for 3 hours out, just standing around as they offered their white seniors and their Hispanic seniors rides and left them standing. And I think that's an important context because the Cap Times in the article describes Newbridge as someone who receives one third or has been over the last few years, I think 10 years or so, I might have that wrong, but have received one third of all of their funding from the city of Madison. And you may recall that I, Brandi Grayson, was talking mad crap probably about a month ago when they were going through the RFP for elder services in Madison. So Madison, the city council and the Madison administrators hired EDO, which is a community engagement. They do all kind of equity work and assessments and engagement work led by Mrs. Miller, Annette Miller, who does amazing work. Go check her out. Okay. Another Black-led organization. But they hired her to find out where the gaps were in services for Madison seniors before they released their new RFP. Her data showed that the gaps in services was for Black, Brown, and vulnerable populations, like always. I don't know if y'all know that. We could stop wasting money on that. The data that it tells us the same story, has been telling us the same story for 100 years now. But that those were the gaps. And when they looked back and they went to the RFP, they decided to take the money, which was like $800,000+, and offer it to organizations like Urban Triage, like Freedom Inc., I believe, the Bayview Community Center, the African Center for, I can't remember there, but it's African Center or something, Community Center, African Community Center. But they decided to split the funds up into 13 organizations so they can have equity or diversity in the services and programs being offered to seniors. Newbridge lobbied against it. I mean, they brought out every white person they knew, their mamas, their cousins, the mayors, that used to be the mayors, the aunties, the chief of police that used to be I'm exaggerating, but they brought out everybody, right? And as a Black-led organization, I actually don't have time to lobby and organize people like that because I'm too busy actually doing the work 12 to 15 hours a day responding to community emergencies. But they, of course, they had the privilege. And you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your Black girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. We're just talking about local politics in Newbridge in the article, Cap Times. So anyway, one third funded, their budget is one third funded by the city of Madison. The RFP was released. Organizations applied. The committee who reviewed it went through multiple committees because it's all bureaucracies around here. They decided to split the money up. Newbridge organized. And then they won. And I say they won because their funds still got cut, but they end up getting half of the pot. And then Madison City Council came back and offered them $100,000 more. Now, as a Black person in an organization, I'm trying to use better words now, less words that, you know, I can seek into people so they can understand. But I just want to say this is bull crap, how people, white people can cry and then it changes what the committee said, what the RFP said, what the data said, just because you haven't figured out a way to diversify your own funding pots. Like, and not to even mention that they were actually not doing the job that the RFP set out to be, which was providing diversity and programming and centering Black and Brown and vulnerable people. And then an article also talked about how Newbridge said all of their programs were free, but then they were trying to charge Black people $5 to $10 to go bowling or go to the movies. And then we had Dina Wright, who was their coordinator of programming. She's been, you know, saying out loud and very loudly that they are not doing the things that they said they were doing, and their data that they've been giving the city is false. I mean, Urban Triage can just cough wrong and y'all go crazy, right? But this organization can do stuff factually. And Black seniors showed up at city council. They wrote letters. Like, they literally organized against this organization and they still end up getting more than half. And then they took the other half of the pot and split it between 10 other nonprofits. So that means we got like 40,000 or something like that. It was a show, to say the least. And that was another example I used where city council folks, alder people who are Black like me, look like me on the outside, voted against and stood with Newbridge because of their political gain from that relationship. So I want to remind y'all that what's happening in our community right now with Trumpeters and everything else is not a Black and white thing, okay? It looks Black and white because that's what they want us to feel and be divided on, but this isn't a Black and white thing. There are Black people supporting Trump, Brown people supporting Trump, women supporting Trump, people with disabilities supporting Trump. There were gay people supporting Trump, which really confused me, but I'm not even going to go there, okay? I have more tea in the local government when we return in the politics around nonprofits locally, and I want to talk about me and how when I search me, y'all so funny. Okay, let's talk about it because I don't mind sharing here on Civic Media 92.7 FM, tuned into the Black Conversion Show. Return because I got more tea.
voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, not the upgrade with Beyonce, Luke, okay? Hey, let me upgrade y'all here on the Black Convergence Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. Let me upgrade your mind, your heart, and your soul, okay? I need you to take all the seeds that I give you and just let them, you know, seek into your aura and your energy, because then you will find that you would be transformed in your mind, okay? I just think I rhymed, okay? Little Kendrick Lamar, he should go ahead and hire me to be his writer. Okay, I digress. I got a little excited again. Okay, let's get back to the tea. So prior to break, we were talking about local politics. There's a Cap Times article about New Bridge community. I don't think they're a community center, but they're senior elder programming. Urban Triage did receive a $45,000 grant for Black senior programming. Our programming will actually launch in June. Why did I say Sunday? I don't know. I want it to be over for some reason. It will launch this June, this summer. And we'll be providing food, weekly stipends to our elders, and culturally specific activities. And it will be coordinated. The activities will be coordinated by my adopted mother, Rita Adair. If you guys aren't familiar with Rita Adair, she did a lot of community work over the last few decades. So she's like a legacy in Madison, Wisconsin. She worked with Joining Forces for Families, I think, for like 15 or 20 years. And she adopted me. I've been part of her family since I was like 13 years old. So I hired her. You know, my mom is retired and she moved back. She recently lost her partner. So I'm going to give her some things to do. And she loves to hang out. So we're talking about a lot of summer activities for our Black elders. And no worries, we will never leave you high or dry. We will always provide transportation that's accessible. And I haven't contacted In Motions Transportation, a Black-owned medical transportation company. We hired them for all of our transportation needs. So if you need transportation, look up my boy Joe. He's always on time. They're always friendly and they always get the job done. So big ups to In Motions Transportation. And check us out. We'll be promoting our elder senior program a little bit later. All the money will go to the elder program directly into paying for stipends and things like that. I think before, you know, I'm digressing. I'm kind of all over the place, but there is a visual for, this is for our people who are watching the recording this Friday, for G-Safe and Freedom Inc., who are also local nonprofits organizations. They're holding the visual this Friday for trans folks who were murdered at 6 p.m. at Olin Park. So check that out. Look that up. And again, if you're wondering what you can do during the time of uncertainty, the best thing you could do is support local. Support local businesses, support grassroots organizations. And please do me a favor, before you decide to donate to an organization, look them up, because this is what I'm talking about. I looked me up, okay? Not on purpose, like on accident. Like I just Googled my name. I had Googled someone else's name and I was like, I wonder what comes up with me, right? So I Googled my name. Oh my God, y'all, it is no good.
It's
like
a dangerous game.
Oh, I shouldn't have Googled me.
That's a dangerous game.
I Googled me and all the articles that popped up is talking about my salary. Nothing else. Not the work that we do. Not the impact of our work. Someone's like, she makes as much as the governor, right? So I just want to say this. That's cool. But when I Googled other people, their salaries didn't come up. And I want you to know that my salary, again, is reflective of all the CEOs around urban, you know, around Dane County and CEOs of nonprofits. Is no different. But what I did notice, too, is Urban Triage received. So when you look me up, it takes you to this space where this link where it shows all your taxes tax information for nonprofits, all of our audit information, which I think is pretty cool. So if you want to know what we're doing, how we've done it and all that stuff, look us up, because I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So 80 something percent of all of the funds coming into Urban Triage goes to direct programming. So let's just acknowledge that. That's totally wild, right? Like, we administration operation is small coverage compared to the actual program services and resources being provided to the community. So shout out to me and our squad. Okay. Amen. But what also was very interesting to me is our audit came up, and in one of our audits, it says that they needed to improve some financial internal controls, which wasn't a ding, because in audit, like, there's like high, like, you messed up, right? Like, and you just probably should be out of business. And then there's kind of like, oh, we found some things your management should take a look at and improve. So that was Urban Triage, right? But I want to mind you, in 2023, our last audit, we had Wagner CPA, right? And we spent $220,000 with this CPA, and their job was to help us get those internal controls. So I want to acknowledge that. And they were supposed to help us form it. And it was, as you guys know, at the beginning of me being on Civic Media, I was not happy. There was a lot of things not done. And I just want to say that we got that slight ding for $220,000. Now, mind you, we paid them as much as I get paid. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. We paid them as much as I get paid. And I do multiple jobs. I still have to do the CFO stuff. I still have to do program management. I still have to write all grants. I write all grants. All funds coming into Urban Triage is done in partnership with Brandy Grace, my girl Olivia, my guy Connor. They're both volunteer type grant writers. Connor works for us part time. Shout out to you, Connor. He works on our agriculture program with Ruth Anna. He is amazing. Connor's amazing. Ruth Anna's amazing. Olivia's amazing. Ruth Anna's not white, but the other two are white. And those are my people right there. So shout out to y'all for all y'all have contributed and given and sown into Urban Triage. But I just want to say, like, we paid them as much as I got paid, and y'all ain't mad at them. And you ain't mad because they didn't do what they did. But anyway, we got this small ding, which is no big deal. But then it led me down another rabbit hole to look up other organizations. I want to know, like, what y'all doing? Like, how do we compare? You know what I mean? And I couldn't find everybody. Like, I looked up Nehemiah. I looked up Rape Crisis Center. I tried to just look up random people that popped in my head, but they were not popping up in the search. And then I thought, like, what makes people pop up? And guess who popped up? Boys and Girls Club, because God would do that, right? Boys and Girls Club, Dane County popped up, and I looked at all their tax returns and all their audits. And I want to say, I have to say, for an organization that's national, like all across the country, their audit wasn't pretty at all. And I want to pat myself on the back on a comparison, because our audit was beautiful compared to their audit, right? And I would expect that they would have different structures, because they got money for a whole HR department. They got a whole department. They got CFOs. They got directors of development. They got everything. You guys, we have me. Okay, that's who we have. We have Brandy Grayson holding all of those hats. So it actually made me really proud of what we've accomplished and how clean our audits are. So shout out to us and our team and the CPAs and the folks that work with us, because we had Ragnar, then we had a bookkeeper, and then we had two people internally doing the work. So shout out to y'all, because compared to other people, we are doing fabuloso. Okay, amen. So we only got like 1 minute left. I wanted to give you guys the sound bite from Kanye's video, but we ain't got time, but I'm gonna tell you about it. Do we have time?
We'll save it for next week. Tease it.
Okay, so Kanye did a whole commercial, y'all, on his phone for Super Bowl, and paid like $7 million for it to air for a 30-second clip, and he did it in his car talking to people, asking them to buy shoes. This man sold over 283,000 pair of shoes and made $19 million. Insane. Shout out to you, Kanye. You are way smarter than people think. This Black History Month, you are our spotlight as a Black man. Okay, sometimes we question your behavior with your white women on the carpet, because boy, what are you doing? But financially, you got it set. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your hostess with the mostest, Brandy Grayson. I do be making people mad, but you know, tune in. I mean, that's what news and stuff is about. So until next week, check me out online. Check out Urban Triage. Support the work locally. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer in Israel. Loved ones cheering as Hamas today released six more hostages, the last to be released under phase one of the ceasefire with Israel. Later today, over 600 Palestinians imprisoned by Israel should be released. President Trump firing General C.Q. Brown as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. ABC's Rachel Scott.
Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, said as recently as November that he wanted to see C.Q. Brown gone, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. This is a reversal, though. Trump nominated C.Q. Brown to be the chief of staff for the Air Force back in 2020. Hegseth, though, questioning whether or not he even got his job simply because he is a black man.
The Vatican saying that Pope Francis will not be leading his noontime prayer in public tomorrow for the second week, but that he slept well as he remains in Rome battling pneumonia. The 88-year-old pontiff is said to be responding well to treatment and expected to remain in the hospital through next week. This is ABC News.